Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Like for you to look with me at two verses in the New Testament letter of 1 Corinthians. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul the Apostle, in writing to the church, he said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful." You may have translation of God's word that uses the word beneficial, profitable. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then also, a few chapters over in chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And so, here in 1 Corinthians, we have two verses that are nearly identical. And the reason for the emphasis is that Paul was addressing a major problem in the church. The Corinthian church had many problems. They had numerous problems to deal with. But their number one problem was rampant sexual immorality. And the Corinthians had a favorite popular saying among themselves. They were going around saying, "All things are lawful for me." And they were using that as a license to sin, to do whatever they wanted to do with their bodies. Paul uses this phrase, he repeats it four times in two verses because he's answering this statement, "All things are lawful for me." He's answering it, and hopefully I'll be able to answer that today in this message. And so Paul engages them in their thinking. He confronts the sexual immorality that was so prevalent among them. And he comes to this conclusion at the end of chapter 6. The first verse we were looking here is 1 Corinthians 6:12. At the end of that chapter, Paul goes on and he says, "Flee sexual immorality." That word "flee" is a strong word. It's a word of alarm. Run if you have to. Run like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. Because Paul goes on to say here, "Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple?" Now, note that word. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit," body and spirit, "which are God's." It's no coincidence here that Paul uses the word temple, because the men of Corinth were giving their bodies to the temple prostitutes in the temple of Aphrodite. And so Paul says, hey, here's the real temple. Your body is the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you commit a sin in this manner, you're not only sinning against God, but Paul says you're sinning against your own body. Now, having mentioned this issue that Paul was dealing with, I believe there's even a larger picture here of governance that Paul wants us to see and to operate in. Yes, we are in grace, thank God. Aren't you glad for grace today? We are in grace. We're no longer bound to the yoke of the law. We're free to exercise free will in the choices that we make, but in some of the choices that we make, they may not be beneficial. They may not be profitable. They may not be helpful. In fact, some of these choices that are made in freedom can bring us into bondage and enslavement. The devil begins to have a foothold, and that foothold becomes a stronghold. And that choice you make starts to have power over you until you're in the place where you need deliverance. A self-help book is not going to help you. There's some things that only God can set you free from. And the addictions that come in life and the bondage because of choices that are made. And so, I'm talking today about the limitations of liberty. This was one of the hardest sermons I've ever written in my life. But I believe this is what God wants me to speak today. The limitations of liberty. And being that we just celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day, I want to move for a moment, if I may, from the governance of man's kingdom to the governance of God's kingdom. Because what I'm really after here today is God's rule and God's kingdom in our lives and in the church. But for a moment, I want to talk about human kingdoms, because the history of the world in terms of human kingdoms, the history of the governments of the world, has been mostly a top-down approach of people dominating and enslaving other people. Kings and dictators would make the laws and the rules and the the regulations, and non-compliance was met with persecution, punishment, and even death. But see, this is not what God wanted from the beginning. When you look back at the Old Testament, we find that God wanted man to take a bottom-up approach to governance under His rule. He wanted representation among the people, but the people rejected His rule. The people came to the prophet Samuel, and they said, we want a king. We want a king to rule over us. We want to be like the other nations. We read here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. If you'll bear with me here in this message this morning, I want to talk about America for a few moments. What is America? This country that we live in. America was a reaction to the oppressive government of man. America, in its founding, was a bottom-up approach under God's rule. It was a return to what we refer to as natural law, that our rights are derived from God and not man. It is we the people. Have you ever heard this before? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we probably have all heard that many times. But it goes on from there. Listen to this. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's a bottom-up approach. And then it goes on. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Oh, you talk about, I could get really political right now. Oh boy, could I get really political. Well, I'm going to let you sort out some of that and decide what you think about America and where we are as a nation. I will say this, I believe as a nation, we're a modern Corinth in this country. The God of Aphrodite is alive and active today, along with many other things. But I want to point this out to you as a historical fact. America has its roots in the Bible. America has its foundation in the precepts and the principles of God's holy word in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, and I believe history proves this out, that whenever biblical Christianity, and I want to use the word biblical, whenever biblical Christianity is applied, wherever biblical Christianity is applied, the end result is always light and liberty. Amen. If the Son makes you free, what? You're free indeed. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's just the opposite of godless secular rule, socialism, communism. These forces, this is why these forces seek to suppress the gospel. Because the gospel sets people free from the tyranny and the control of man and the tyranny and the control of Satan, who is leading the rebellion against God's rule. And so, let me get to the heart of this message. Whether we talk about man's kingdom or God's kingdom, there are limitations to liberty. We have certain rights and privileges in this nation as citizens of this country. We have certain rights and privileges as God's children in His kingdom. But with those rights and privileges come responsibility and restrictions. If there's no governance and no law, then there's anarchy and destruction. If there's too much, then there's oppression and bondage. And so, what am I getting at here? I hope you hear this message today. I find in the realm of Christian faith that there are two extremes. We see both of these extremes operating in the New Testament church all the way through. And we see both of these extremes operating in the church today. What are they? For our purposes here today, I'm going to call this license and law. The first one is seen right here in the Corinthian church and other parts of the New Testament church. It's still operating among many Christians and churches today. It's the one that uses liberty as a license to sin. It's the one that says, I'm in grace now. It's hyper grace. It's here today. It was there in the New Testament. It's with us today. I'm in grace. Therefore, all things are lawful for me. My soul belongs to God. But I'll do whatever I please with my body. And there's this sort of people trying to do this separation from the soul and the body as if the body has nothing to do with salvation. And here's the word, the word Gnosticism. I asked Jamie to put, I want you to see how that's spelled, Gnosticism, silent G. The reason I'm even talking about this is because it's alive and well today. All of these churches that are doing this homosexual union and inside the church and all that, it falls right under this. It falls under Gnosticism. People that are in hyper grace and they say, I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want with my body. It's this, what we're talking about here. It's a separation of the spiritual from the physical, the soul from the body. And they're trying to exclude the body from salvation. And this was going on in the New Testament church. And Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And the people there, they were saying, here's how they were thinking in this Gnosticism and antinomianism. They were saying, hey, we're saved. Our souls belong to God. But we're going to do whatever we want with our bodies. And then they were so sick and twisted in their thinking, they were thinking, the more we sin, the more grace we'll receive. So we'll just sin a whole bunch so that we can receive a whole bunch of grace. And here's Paul's response to this license that I'm talking about. Here's what Paul said. Here's what God's Word says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Certainly not. May it never be. However your translation states it. It's strong language. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then later on, that's in Romans chapter 6, the beginning of Romans chapter 6. But then in Romans chapter 12, Paul says this. Listen to this. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Present your bodies. He didn't say present your souls. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And so, one extreme, this license. All things are lawful for me. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Here's another extreme. Law, legalism. It was operating in the New Testament church and is still operating today. There were believers in the New Testament church. They were still bound by the law and they were trying to bind other people with their rules and regulations. The Galatian church had a big problem with this. And so Paul, look at this. Here's Paul's answer to the law issue. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. As I study the history of the church, all down through history, and even today, there are Christians who lack spiritual depth. They lack spiritual discernment. They depend on someone else to lead them, to tell them what to believe and how to behave. They're rule followers. Tell me what Bible to use. If you want me to use the King James only, and that's the rules and regulations of church, that's what I'll do. Tell me how to live. Tell me how to act. Give me the religious rules, and I'll do my best to comply to the religious rules. And then they try to bind others with that. Look at the two traps of license and law. Here are the traps. One is pushing the limits, pressing the limits. There are a lot of Christians who, let me see how far, let me see where that line is. How far can I get? How far can I go and still be saved and still make heaven? So it's constant pushing of the limits. It's license. And then the other trap is defining behavior. We fall into this. We're always trying to define behavior. Government leaders and these elites, don't they do that? They're trying to define behavior. They make all these rules and regulations and then they don't keep them. Cult leaders do the same thing. Here are the rules and regulations, and they don't keep it. They just want to bind others with their rules and regulations. Okay, now, let me get to this message today. Here's the thing. You got license, law, then you have another L word, love. I want to show you a more excellent way. That's what the Bible says. A more excellent way. What I'm going to share with you now is the key to a victorious, liberated Christian life. It's not license. It's not law. It is love for God and love for people. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you a new commandment. This is the 11th commandment. He gave a commandment. I'm going to give you another commandment. That you love one another even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. How many of you know this world needs some love today? The church needs a revival of love. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Check it out. I say to you, walk by the Spirit. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to be talking about self-control Wednesday evening. The pearl of self-control. Against such, there's no law against the, there's no, this is above. This is a deeper level here. And so please hear me. Listen to me very carefully. As a Christian, I am to be led by love. I'm to be led by the Spirit. If I'm led by love, I don't want to become a stumbling block to someone. If I'm led by the Spirit, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God that's dwelling in me. The goal is to follow Jesus, to love the people He died for. The goal is to cross the finish line one day and to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If this is the case, then I'm not going to use license or legalism to bind myself and to bind others in bondage. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. All things are lawful, but I am not going to be brought under the power of any. I'm going to be free. Now, if you'll endure this for a few moments, I want to talk a little bit about myself. Because I know most of you probably look at me like I'm an angel. You know, you just say an angel. Yeah, I was once, I was more like a fallen angel. I was a smoker, drinker, and drug user when Jesus saved me. And He delivered me from these strongholds, from this bondage. But I had to learn how to walk it out. And I'm so thankful for loving, patient Christians who were patient with me. And they helped me and they encouraged me to walk with the Lord. It wasn't all easy when you come out of the things that I came out of. And I'll just use the thing about, you know, I used to smoke. And that was one of the hardest things because I was addicted to nicotine. How many of you know today you don't have to work hard at being addicted to something? Not hard, is it? You have to work hard not to be. And I'm free in the Lord. You know what? I can go out this week. I can go out this week and I can buy myself an $8 pack. I think I looked up when I smoked it, they were like 35 cents a pack. And now I think cigarettes are like, first of all, that blows me away. I was standing behind someone in a convenience store. They bought a whole carton and I forgot it was some outrageous amount, like $100 or something for a carton of cigarettes. I could go out this week and I could start puffing on cigarettes again. I'm free to do that. But I'm not going to be brought under the power of nicotine. I'm not going to be enslaved to it. And so, here's the thing today. All throughout my ministry, people have asked, like, can a Christian do this or that? You know, can a Christian smoke cigarettes and still go to heaven? Well, one thing I know, you're going to get there a lot sooner if you smoke. You're gonna hasten the process there. But we're always looking for. I could name so many things. I could give you a whole list of things that we can. A Christian do this? Can a Christian do whatever? We're asking the wrong question. The question is, does it edify? Is it beneficial? Is it profitable? Does it help me in my walk with the Lord to my desired goal? Or will it set me back? Will it hinder me? Will it enslave me? That is the question. Will it profit those around me? Or will it cause them to stumble? God placed Adam and Eve. Now watch this. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, paradise. It's all yours. You're free. You're free. With one restriction. One restriction. And Adam and Eve exercised their wills. They exercised their freedom in such a way as to bring themselves and all humanity into sin and bondage. And here we are. Here we are in this world. So, let me, I'm coming to a close here in a few moments. When you start contemplating doing something, you need to stop. You need to ask three questions before you do it. How will this impact my relationship with God? You say, I love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you're going to do something, you're going to engage in some kind of activity, how is this going to impact your relationship to God? Question number two, how will this impact the people closest to me? If I make these choices and these actions, am I going to blow up my family? Am I going to blow up my relationships in the church? And then, question number three, how will this impact people who are looking at me? We may be the only Bible some people ever read. They're looking at you. They're looking at me. How these choices, these decisions that I make, how is this going to impact them? They're looking at me and wondering why I am a Christian. Will I hinder that witness? Will I cause them to stumble? I'm going to close with this thought today. The New Testament, in many places, likens the Christian life to a race. Paul said, I'm running the race to finish. And then he said, I don't want to be disqualified. Now think about that. If Paul said, I don't want to be disqualified, that means that you could be disqualified. Paul says, I'm running this race. I don't want to be disqualified. And in New Testament times, athletes would strip down to, literally, they would strip down to nothing in running the race. Now, here, follow me here. In running this race, you're free to run in heavy fatigues. You're free to run in heavy boots. But why would you? Why would you do it? So here's the exhortation from God's Word, and I'll close with this. You know, we're in a battle, folks. We're in a race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.